You're listening to Agile Ideas, the podcast, hosted by Fatima Ibuchi.
For anyone listening out there not having a good day, please know there is help out there. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Agile Ideas, the podcast. I'm your host, Fatima Ibuchi. Thank you so much for joining me today. On today's episode of Agile Ideas, we have a very special guest joining us. Not only someone who has demonstrated what pivoting under pressure is all about, but someone who has absolutely smashed it out of the ballpark. Jeremy Fleming is the Managing Director of Stage Kings, the company responsible for some of the most well-known temporary event structures of the past 5 years, building stages and sets like the opening ceremony at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games, the set for Ninja Warrior, the replica Edinburgh Castle at the Edinburgh Military Tattoo in Sydney, Shakespeare's pop-up Globe Theatre in Melbourne, Sydney and Perth, Ultra Music Festival and the Adelaide 500 concert stage, to name a few. Jeremy is currently navigating Stage Kings through the most difficult time the event industry has experienced since the outbreak of COVID-19. Seeing a chink in the supply chain, he has pivoted the staging business to manufacture work-from-home office furniture and now return to work office furniture to fill the gap in the market and keep Stage Kings and their employees in business. By doing this, he has re-employed staff as well as employing many more out-of-work event crew to help in the manufacturing of the ISO King desk range. On top of this, Stage Kings has raised over $25,000 for Support Act, the heart and hand of Australian music, through the sales of the desks. Jeremy, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure. Let's start off by asking, I would like to know, what was the best thing that happened to you last week?
So last week, this has all been such a crazy ride, and it's all been pretty exciting. But last week, we were able to give Support Act the next part of a donation to them. So that always makes us feel great, and I'd say that's up there.
Incredible, beautiful. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I've talked through your bio, but it'd be really good to hear, what you've done in the past and where you are today.
Sure. So Jeremy Fleming's my name, Managing Director of Stage Kings. My background is mostly scaffold. I'm actually a bridge carpenter by trade, which is a bit of a dying trade. But bridge carpenter by trade, I did scaffolding while I was working on bridges. And from there, I moved to Germany and worked for Layer, the scaffold manufacturer. So I was with those guys for a long time and was involved in bringing Layer into Australia, the scaffold system. From there, where I sold a bunch of scaffold to event companies and went on to work for an event company. And from there, we built a lot of stages and built that part of the market in Australia. And 5 years ago, I started Stage Kings. With the main goal of building more themed, decorated stages, more like you see in Europe, the Tomorrowlands and the Wish festivals and big festivals like that, that are a lot of detailed decoration in those stages. So every stage is different, and it's more about the experience of the festival than actually the standard stage. So. So that's how Stage Kings came about 5 years ago, and that's where we're at.
That sounds amazing. And obviously during that time with Stage Kings, I can see from your website you've done an incredible amount of work with a number of really large profile organisations. What would you say has been maybe your most memorable project if you had to pick one of your babies?
There's really two that stand out for us. The Commonwealth Games opening ceremony is an amazing event, witnessed by a billion people around the world. So that one's really pretty special to us. And for us to be a company that under 5 years to pick up that job was amazing. We're very proud of that job. And then, so I have to say two, sorry. The second one is Pop-Up Globe Theatre. So the Globe Theatre, we built that three times now around the country, and it's a really special job for us. It's a replica of Shakespeare's Globe Theatre, so the 400-year-old building, which we built out of scaffold, and we do the everything from that, from the scaffold structure to the decoration. And anyone that's been to that building and steps inside is taken back in time, and really an amazing building.
Sounds like incredible. I mean, I don't know how you managed to pick two, but they sound incredible, and I'm sure everyone who gets an opportunity to see them will probably appreciate the quality of the work there. Incredible.
Yeah.
I think I know you talked about, you know, you started in a, you know, you had a trade background, you've done carpentry, you've done some work in the scaffolding space. There's a lot of people that listen to this podcast that are either entrepreneurs at the moment or those that maybe are starting out in business that probably think, well, you know, maybe they've got a trade background and they're looking to get into the business and running a business. Managing director role is, you know, so complex. What would be some advice that you would give them, you know, coming from a background that maybe isn't so business and then actually running an organization like yourself?
Yeah, you know what? My main advice is just to start. If you have an idea, get it going. It's really almost as simple as that. There's obviously a lot of things that need to be considered, but let's make a start now and learn along the way. I didn't really know how to run a business when I started this, and it's we had to pick it up along the way. And yeah, don't procrastinate. Get into it.
Beautiful. Good advice. So I think one of the reasons for those listening that I wanted to talk to you is about the ingenuity behind your business's adaptability and flexibility. For those that are not aware, I think it was around the 22nd of March where you made an announcement just days after the live event industry collapsed. And you have transformed and pivoted significantly under pressure with a business and a products called IsoKing. Can you tell us a little bit about this initiative and where did the idea come from for IsoKings?
Sure. So I'll take you back a week prior to that, Friday the 13th of March. We were in Melbourne building the Ninja Warrior set and a set piece for Miley Cyrus and Robbie Williams concert at the Formula One. And that was the day that they cancelled the Formula Ones and the government made the announcement that there was no more public gatherings over 500 people. So pretty much everything we do is a gathering of more than 500 people. So that was and put an end to all of our upcoming income, which was I'd like to say we were ready for it, but really until that day, we didn't think it was going to hit us that hard. So we knew that COVID-19 was happening everywhere else and saw that it could become an issue, but we didn't think it was going to halt everything. So that was Friday the 13th that we started getting phone calls cancelling events, and as a lot of people know, every event essentially shut that week, which basically, not knowing how long that was going to go for, put an end to all of our income, and we very quickly calculated we lost about $2.5 million in revenue, and that was if it was going to last for six months or so. It potentially could go longer than that, but so we had to make some pretty quick decisions, and we within that week between the 13th and the 20th of March, we had to work out what financially we could do. We had to talk to the banks and landlords and finance companies and work through how we could deal without any income. And we calculated we could make about 5 months without any income if we made some pretty big cuts. And so that meant we were going to have to let go of all of our staff besides so Mick Jessup, who we'll talk a lot more about. He's our head of production, now chief designer. But Mick, Tabitha, my wife, she's our director of the company and runs the back end. We all had to work through how we were going to manage it. And we had 23 staff at the time, and we had to start those conversations that we were going to have to let them all go and make redundancies. And that didn't sit well with me, and I wasn't just going to sit down. We had to work through what we could do, and so that's when we started to think of of options, and we ran through a lot of things, and we designed up waiting rooms for hospitals, COVID waiting rooms for car parks, and testing facilities for car parks and things like that, and things we could make out of the truss and the scaffold that we have in stock and we use for every project. And none of that really took hold. It was only a week, so we didn't have a lot of time to get any traction with that. And the date you're talking about, I was talking to a friend of mine in Ireland who has a production company called Flying Elephant Productions. And I was talking to Steve, and he said, look, we're looking at making some furniture. Well, why don't you guys consider that? And that just flipped the switch, and I messaged Mick on Sunday morning, and said, look, we need to be looking at furniture. And luckily, there's a lot of very lucky coincidences here. Mick designs furniture, and he's got a keen interest in design, and he makes furniture at home for himself. So luckily, we have that, and he came in on the following morning with a couple of designs, and that's how ISO King was born.
Wow, what an incredible story. It's an absolute credit to you and your team for thinking outside the square. And I think that, you know, although there's a lot of coincidences in place here, but you actually took the initiative to think about it and take those steps and make those calls and didn't just sit there and think, you know, it's all too late or there's nothing we can do. And I think that's a big credit for you to effectively save your team, which is amazing. So let's dive deeper into ISO King. So obviously the products, as I've understood, I think in the first month you produced 4,000 items, which is absolutely incredible. And you've got a range of products that you actually produce. How did you test the concept? Did you just make a desk and ask a few people, or did you just find that you made one, put it online, and it just started selling like bananas?
So exactly how it worked. That Monday, Mick came in with the design for the stand-up desk, and we incorporated a part of the design from Ireland for the normal desk. And so we had those two products on Monday. We cut them on the Monday morning, and we loved them, Mick and I, to start with, and Tabitha, and we sent it to a few close friends. They all thought that it was a brilliant idea and loved the product. And that was how it started, and we did move very quickly with it, and the next day we were taking photos and had the site live on the Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. And we did move quickly, and as a lot of anyone that's bought anything off us, I've been quite open with any mistakes we've made along the way as well, and we did the stand-up desk had a wobble, which after a week. We identified a way to fix that, and we sent a piece out to everyone to fix that. So we moved quickly and fixed our problems along the way and dealt with issues, and but that's how they came about.
And tell me, how did you and Tabitha and Mick approach the rest of your team and say to them, hey, we're no longer doing these massive events. We're actually going to make some desks. What was their reaction?
Wow, they were just happy to be coming back again. We on the Friday, so I talk about the Sunday, we had the idea, and by Tuesday we were making them. The Friday prior, we had to lay everyone off. So everyone returned their keys and took their tools and finished up on that Friday afternoon, which was a horrible day. But by Tuesday we were on sale, and we'd sold 20 desks in the first afternoon. And by Wednesday we had half a dozen people back, and every day that increased. Up to what we have 56 people working now.
That's incredible. And I think I agree with you. The idea of knowing that, you know, only days later after you effectively let go pretty much your whole team to then invite them to come back would have just been, I mean, if I was there, I would wanted to celebrate. I'm sure that you just wanted to, you know, hug each other and cry. Emotional.
Yeah, we would. We had to do that from a meter and a half away, but yes, absolutely.
Yes, definitely. Beautiful. So, you mentioned about moving really fast, and I think, you know, a lot of our listeners come from a project management background, regardless of the methods and approaches that we use for project management. I'm interested to know how you pivoted from such large constructions to something that is much smaller, but of obviously a higher volume. Did you have to reshape your project management processes, or did you just kind of give direction to the leads in those areas to just sort of go with the flow and make it up as they went to actually be able to keep up with the speed that you needed to move?
So as a company, the stages we build are never the same. We build quite big, you know, 1 week we might be building a 26 meter high dragon and the next a lion or a futuristic planet. Some crazy things, and so every project we look at, we look at differently. We look at what we need to build, and it's a process of talking to the client what they want, and then we work out how to do it. So we're quite an agile company. We have set builders and scaffolders and riggers that work for us, and they're always doing different things. So when the desks came about, the ISO King desks, we looked at it as another project. We worked out what we needed to do to make this project successful, and we did those steps. So it's a very big change from a stage, but we looked at it the same way. We have a CNC router, and that's what we programmed to cut the desks. We then had our carpenters and our set builders working with other event staff to sand those desks, and we made a process for that, and then wrapping and dispatching. So everyone takes ownership for what they do here, and so everyone's run along and helped to create the new systems to make the desk.
Amazing. It's very, very, very positive to see the speed at which companies are moving, even governments moving in this pandemic. It's incredible to see how much you can get done when people just, you know, put their head down and move forward with things. Mm. So that's incredible. You mentioned at the beginning that one of the best things that happened last week was the incredible amount of money that you have raised through your ISO Kings initiative for Support Act. Can you tell us a little bit more about what is Support Act for those that don't know and what this charity means to you?
Sure. So as the event industry got hit hard and early, and it essentially was a complete shutdown of everything that the events industry does. So there's a website that has tallied up the amount of people that have been affected, and it's 600,000 event workers are now out of work. Now it's a huge number, and the Support Act is a charity that supports those people. So they give support however they can. You can call them and they'll talk through any issues. Now, early days, the government wasn't giving much money to the event industry, which was really hard to cope with. And so we, from day one, we decided we need to actually give back from this. And if we were gonna sell any desks, we wanted to give $10 from every order to Support Act. And so we've done that, and we're now at the end of the first month, we'd raised over $20,000 for Support Act, and which is just brilliant.
That's incredible. And obviously with the continuing purchase of every desk order, you're continuing to donate $10. So for anyone listening, get on the website and purchase a desk to help raise money for Support Act, which is amazing. You've obviously created a number of different products. I'm familiar with the desk, the stand-up desk, and you were just telling me before we jumped on the call about your puzzle board. What other exciting products you can tell us about? Appreciate if there's any that are secrets at the moment, but what can you tell us about your products range and anything that you're adding in the coming weeks?
We've tried to keep quite an open conversation going with our customers, and so we've put it out there. What do people want? And the puzzle board was overwhelmingly something that people wanted while they're at home, doing puzzles. So we created that, and we actually sold 150 of those in the first day. And there's been other things like that too. We've now done a lot of different size desks for people and things like that. But we've done vinyl crates to hold vinyl records, and we've done wine racks because everyone needs wine. And so we've done those. And we're actually today I'm about to put online a laptop desk. So for sitting on the couch or laying in bed, a desk that you can have your laptop in there. And one of the most exciting things for us, we're working on a lot of other ISO King products, but we're now moving as well into the return to work furniture. So now we have corporations that are looking to return to the offices, or at least in some capacity. With SafeWork's new COVID guidelines, a lot of their furniture doesn't comply. So what we're finding is a lot of corporations are now storing a lot of their existing furniture, and they need furniture that's going to be COVID compliant. So we've come up with a modular system to do that. So modular desking with drawers and storage and screens and things like that. So we're pretty excited about that, and that's going to be launching in the coming days.
Amazing. And I think one of the things that I really liked about your products is the fact that it's really easy and fast to put together, which means, it doesn't have all these screws and glues and all that. The way that it comes together is quite interesting and unique. And they look very stylish as well. And as you said, they come in different sizes, which makes them quite good for small spaces as well.
Yeah, and the thought was that people aren't always going to have space for these desks, so the quicker and easier we make them to put together, they can store them away even every day, which we're having a lot of comments people are doing. For us, we wanted to use a beautiful piece of ply. We didn't want to use MDF or any kind of chipboard kind of materials. So we've got a really nice piece of birch ply that we start with, and then we didn't want any sort of tools needed. So they literally go together in 30 seconds.
Incredible. That's amazing. And I think that what I like as well is the personalization. You literally found out about the puzzle board from a customer's recommendation, and the fact that you're able to address that, it's something that's quite unique. It's quite hard for large companies typically to personalize to that level. So the fact that you've been able to do it is really, really positive. Amazing. So, we know you've made good out of a really bad situation. I think that there is probably a number of businesses out there that are trying to do similar things for their teams as well. There are obviously other organisations that may be not so fortunate and maybe are scratching their heads trying to think how they're going to be able to make the next few months work. What would be some of the tips you'd give to people to think about creating opportunities like what you've done, but for their situation? Is there any advice that you can give for them to think about what they could do to get out of this, get out of a bad situation?
Look, I think you just need to look at what people need at the time. And we, another example, I was talking on a webinar the other day with a lady that owned a hotel, a small hotel, and she was doing nothing. They were basically shut up. But what other people with hotels are doing now is actually renting out the rooms as office spaces because people need a single office space. So just looking at what people need, and if you find something, go for it. Again, like I said earlier, it's don't procrastinate. Move on it as quick as you can.
Amazing, really positive. Okay, beautiful. So let's get into some rapid fire questions. We'll just cover off a few fun ones. And feel free to tell me if you want to pass, because sometimes the first question does shock people. What's something that you do that most people would consider strange?
Well, look, I actually like to I'm a bit of a runner, and I like to do obstacle course racing. So one of my passions is 24-hour obstacle course races, and that's a lot of people find that strange, but I just like to run for 24 hours.
Crazy person. Well done. Good on you for that. Are you a morning or an evening person?
Look, definitely mornings. I like to get up and get into it as early as we can.
Now, thinking about the fact that we can't travel for a little while, or maybe a long while, what was your favourite holiday destination?
Do you know, I'm from the South Coast originally, down a small town called Tathra, and I love getting back down the South Coast of New South Wales. So anywhere down along the Sapphire Coast, I feel really at home down there and love getting there.
And what's your favourite food?
Wow, anything that is delivered to the door. we mix it up. Indian, anything delivered.
Yeah, I can only imagine you probably don't have that much time to do your own cooking with all the activity that you've got going on right now in the business.
Well, look, that's right. I don't have time, and Tabitha certainly doesn't. Where she's homeschooling three kids and doing an amazing job of that, but it's a lot of work. So yeah. There's not a lot of time.
Absolutely. It's a great appreciation for teachers, isn't it?
oh gosh, I don't know how they do it.
So tell us, Jeremy, how can people get involved with ISO Kings? Where can they get more information?
Look, stagekings.com.au website is a good place to start, and we update that frequently. We're also on all the socials, stagekings_AU at Instagram and stagekings Australia at Facebook, and also on LinkedIn, with stagekings Australia on there. So, yep, send us an email. We've always got people on hand, and someone will get back to you as quickly as we can.
Beautiful. Well, just before we finish up, is there anything else that you would like to share with listeners, a call to action, a piece of advice, or or a question to ponder?
Look, I think really the only thing, again, is, guys, if you have an idea, go for it. We will get through all this. It is a tough time for everyone, understood, and I think we'll all come out of it better. We need to focus more on Australian manufacturing. I feel that there's going to be a lot more call for local made, support local, support your local businesses as much as possible, and let's get through this.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Agile Ideas podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. We wish you the very best success with your future coming products, and hope that everybody listening gets on board and helps you to support ACT continue to help you and your team get through the coming months, which is absolutely turbulent for the live events industry. So once again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Fatima. It's been great chatting.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We welcome any feedback. Please let us know by going to www.agilemanagementoffice.com/agileideas. You can also find us on most social media channels by searching Agile Ideas or follow me on LinkedIn. Thank you for listening. Please share or rate this if you enjoyed it. I hope you've been able to learn, feel, think, or be inspired today. Until next time, what's your Agile Idea?